This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair with another in our weekly series, Issues of the Environment. Many of you have bird feeders and love watching them congregate to feed. Even more of us like to get outside and watch our winged friends fly tree to tree and then take off and soar, either solo or in formation with their friends. It's how most of us grew up, and now too many of us take it for granted. Our bird populations are in trouble. Earlier this month, the National Audubon Society released alarming data forecasting that nearly two-thirds of bird species in the United States are threatened with extinction because of climate change. Outdoor cats are killing an estimated billion birds a year. Habitat loss shrinks the range of many imperiled species each year. But there's another, equally alarming danger. It's our buildings. In 2014, a study released in the journal Condor reported an estimated 988 million birds were dying each year due to striking windows. Our guest today is working to change that. Heidi Trudell is coordinator for Washtenaw Safe Passage, which is an active research branch of the Washtenaw Audubon Society, and thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you, Dave.
Before we get into the issue of creating more effective safe passage for the birds, quite curious as to how you came about your passion in this area. When did you first become enamored?
Oh gosh, I've loved birds for as long as I can remember, but I didn't actually get into hands-on researching causes of mortality until about 2003. I knew that dead birds, if they were found fresh and in good shape, could be donated to academic research collections before that. But in college, I was on a campus that had a lot of people who loved wildlife. And so when I started finding birds that had hit windows, when friends started telling me about that, I started asking around, like, is this a problem? And everyone I talked to said no. And everyone had been there 20 years, so I had no reason to be skeptical of that, except I kept finding dead birds. And between my handful of buildings at a very small campus, I was picking up over 100 birds a year just at that one spot. That is a very disturbing legacy for even a very small school. So larger colleges have an opportunity to do more about that.
You know, we often think of research as kind of a dispassionate profession.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself emotionally involved when you're finding birds, when you're researching, when you're doing counts?
So there's about one bird a year that will really get me down, but there are resources now that we've identified compassion fatigue. So we do need a community to keep ourselves going because this is very, very emotionally draining work.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Heidi Trudell, who is coordinator for Washtenaw Safe Passage. Now, between mid-March and the end of October, you spend time traveling to a variety of areas throughout Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti, and you are collecting that data on window strikes. How significant is the issue locally?
Wow. So the average low-rise building in the Midwest...
And what do you consider low-rise?
Technically, on paper, low-rise is anything shorter than seven floors.
Okay.
Most of mine are five or lower. Most of those average that we find about 25 to 30 birds a year. So when I say what we find, there's a very large asterisk there that says that does not include the birds that flew away and died somewhere else, and most of them will die somewhere else, unfortunately.
And there's animals that carry them off?
Yeah. Squirrels actually predate a lot of our finds.
So as many as you find, it could be exponentially more.
Potentially three times more at the very conservative end, yeah.
Now, obviously, based on the months I just mentioned, you're about to wrap up the research for 2019. Where are the numbers tracking this year?
Because I have actually managed to line up enough volunteers to do a lot
of
the monitoring.
It?
Well, not only that, we try to monitor year-round as much as possible. Most groups focus on spring and fall. We definitely cover the summer and as much of winter as possible. But this year has been very strange because we had a long, slow, cold, wet spring. And then even fall. Fall is usually 3 to 5 times as bad as spring in terms of actual numbers. And that's just because all of the breeding success from the summer now needs to migrate south. So because this year was almost completely absent in terms of body count for September, I was freaking out because to me that just says everything is dead.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Right.
Fingers crossed either they migrated further west and Chicago's getting them or further east and Cleveland is getting them. But what we're seeing this year is September was slow across the board.
Again, we're talking with Washtenaw Safe Passage Coordinator Heidi Trudell on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. And as you begin to discuss solutions, are the solutions different for these big commercial buildings as opposed to our homes and residential developments?
So for the glass itself, because birds cannot see glass, it to them is either a clear see-through kind of situation where they just don't perceive a barrier, or it's a reflection of sky and trees and everything else. The solution for that is a variety of different window films. You can even do acid-etched glass if you're replacing glass. The American Bird Conservancy tests products and certifies them, and there's a list of those products at birdsmartglass.org. And so that's kind of the general retrofit idea for
both residential and commercial,
correct.
And high-rise and low-rise.
Yeah, so commercial buildings especially need to be turning their lights off because they are usually the ones that are altitude-wise up where the birds are trying to migrate at night, and light is very disorienting to them. So this is kind of a two-pronged thing for commercial buildings, and you know, obviously residences should be turning their lights off at night or using blackout curtains or something like that. But during the day, there are a lot of things that they can do as well. Even when robins are attacking the side mirror on your car, just put a bag over that mirror.
See, a bag over a mirror, that doesn't sound like it's going to cost too much money, right?
Exactly.
We've got that lying around.
Exactly.
But if you start talking about filming over the windows of a seven-story or a high-rise, how expensive is that?
Well, you only really need to address from the ground level up about 60 feet. Because during the day, that's the airspace where birds are most likely to be moving around. We do see some outliers in terms of the occasional peregrine falcon. Unfortunately, we actually have enough, quote-unquote, celebrity birds hitting every year that we can track them essentially across the country. But largely, the first 60 feet of any building is the most dangerous.
So are you looking for policy change that would require that be a part of the development at the outset?
Absolutely. And the Canadian standards actually just passed that this summer. So I'm very proud of Canada. And there are about 20 municipalities across North America that have already adopted.
Any right here?
Not in Michigan.
Right.
I think Minnesota is our closest.
So have you had conversations with local government leaders about the possibility of looking to do exactly what you're talking about accomplishing?
We are getting there. I'm actually relatively new to Michigan. I've only been here about 5 years, so I rely heavily on people that are already connected to figure out whether or not this is a viable topic of conversation yet. But we're also looking at ways that we can combine bird-safe glass and dark sky things.
So there is a lot to talk about in terms of Dark Sky Initiative and everything else, and we will include that as part of our web post. But I think people start thinking, okay, Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti in the grand scheme of things is a very small area. What is the broader perspective? Why does our little corner of the world matter when it comes to bird populations?
Every bird counts. Every window counts. For reference, I did present some of my findings this summer in Costa Rica, and Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, does not sound like something relevant to Costa Rica. But if you look at the top species that hit our windows here, some of those overlap considerably with the species that eat coffee borer beetles.
So
every bird that hits the window.
Our coffee props.
Correct. So if you love your coffee, you should fix your windows.
So, and I assume that there are other crops that are protected by bird species throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really does have an environmental impact both on our food supply, on our luxury supply, and on the overall health of the environment.
Absolutely. And I would argue that it's very important for people as well, because anyone who has had a bird hit a window and watched it either die or flail around
is soul-crushing.
That is incredibly traumatic for both you and the bird. And that's why I also coordinate with Detroit Audubon and the Bird Center of Washtenaw to make sure that we can get this information out to everyone as much as possible. Because any bird that hits a window, if you can grab it, grab it. Then call the Bird Center of Washtenaw and arrange to get it taken there immediately. This is like watching a kid get hit by a car. Like, oh, well, he wandered off. He's fine. If a bird leaves the window area, it's not fine. This is essentially a football player without a helmet and a concussion that now is up against lions and tigers and bears. But birds are vulnerable to hawks and cats and coyotes and foxes and raccoons.
Well, based on all those cheery thoughts, are you optimistic for the future when it comes to addressing this particular component of bird preservation?
Yes. And my current source of optimism is a private school in South Korea that, courtesy of seeing my information, ended up putting feather-friendly dots on their school. So they wanted to monitor their school to see how many birds were hitting where, and they found a stretch of glass that was extremely problematic, and they had asked the school for funding, and they were told yes, and then when they realized it was actually going to be modifying the look of the building, they said no. But then the kids were like, hey, this is what we found in this stretch of glass in 2 weeks, and so they got permission to fix it immediately and then continued to monitor the rest of the building. So this is the kind of stuff that kids can't unlearn.
It is, and it is not the only issue where kids are going to lead the way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it. And again, we'll have all sorts of information and links for you when you go to our website at WEMU.org. Thank you so much, Heidi.
Thank you, Dave.
That is Heidi Trudell, coordinator for Washtenaw Safe Passage and Active Research Branch of the Washtenaw Audubon Society and our guest on Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. You hear it every Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.